Let us cry unto the Lord and come to Him with thanksgiving. God is a refuge for us. He is a tower of strength forevermore. Let us come to Him with hopeful hearts, and let us take refuge in the shadow of His wings. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come into Your presence this morning with thanksgiving. We come because You are indeed a refuge, and You are a tower of strength forevermore. We do indeed come with hopeful hearts, and we come to take refuge in the shadow of Your wings. Help us as we seek to worship You in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us look to the Lord in our morning prayer. O Lord, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, worthy art Thou alone to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and because of Your will they existed and were created. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God, the Almighty, the One who was and who is to come. Come and meet us here today. Come in Your Word and speak to us. Come in Your Holy Spirit and comfort us. Come as our Father and hear the prayers of Your children. Lord, cheer us in our sorrows. Sustain us in our trials. Strengthen us in our weariness. Render us to be fruitful in our Christian duties. Establish in our hearts both peace and joy. Incite in us a desire to commune with You in prayer. Lord, we ask for much. We pray for great things as well as small things. We pray for the gospel to conquer us. Lord, we can be a rebellious people. We can lie. We can cheat. We can deceive. We can break our promises and our vows. We can steal. With our mouths, we can take from our friends both dignity and respect. With our ears, we can listen to gossip that should never have been spoken. With our eyes, we can lust for those things forbidden unto us by Thy law. We are capable of even the most worst of sins. We are sometimes too proud, and sometimes we are too humble. We can speak too much, and we can be silent when we should speak. We can identify the sins of others and also be blinded to our own sins. We can be courageous, and yet we too at times can be as cowards. Lord, we are not happy with ourselves. We grieve over our sins and failures. We sometimes cry tears because we have failed Thee. Yet, O Lord, Your delight in a contrite and broken spirit is our comfort. A broken and contrite heart You will not despise. It is the blood of the Son of God that cleanses us from our sin. It is the atonement of the One who appeased the wrath of God, who washes us as white as snow. It is His death that gives life. It is His rejection that enables us to be received. Not our death, not our rejection, but the death and rejection of the Son of God. Grant to each of us here today that we become as beggars. We come ready to be made rich. As we become empty, we come ready to be made full. As we even come guilty, we come ready to be declared innocent. O Lord, we believe that You are still righteous. We do believe that still men reap what they sow. Surely our God is the same from everlasting to everlasting. Surely our God does not change, and surely our God is immutable. O Lord, answer the prayers of Thy people. Hear the prayers of the righteous. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man will avail much in this world. Have mercy upon us, O God, before we stiffen our necks and become hardened. Have mercy upon us, O God, before we play the harlot and forget Thy ways and Thy laws. Grant Thy blessings on the work of Thy church. Lord, Thy church is weak. Sometimes the church becomes showy and proud. We care more about what the world thinks of us than what God thinks of us. Purify Thy people. Let the wicked go their way. And let the righteous man stand as bold as a lion. Lord, call to our remembrance that to live is Christ and to die is gain. May we remember that for those who endure, for those that persevere, there is a better place where we inherit a treasure not made with hands and where moth and rust do not corrupt. Lord, may it be our hymn that we have fought the good fight. We have finished the course and we have kept the faith. For us, there is laid up in heaven a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award on that day, not only to us, but also unto all who love His appearing. Lord, You have blessed us beyond all expectation. We live in a land that flows with milk and honey. What nation on all the earth has seen the blessings we have seen? Lord, we thank You for the freedom to worship in accordance with our conscience. We thank You for the freedom to speak the truth of God without the fear of harm. We thank You for the freedom to raise our children according to the dictates of our own faith. We thank You for the freedom to travel without restrictions. We thank You for the freedom of being safe in our own homes. We thank You for the freedom to defend our persons and our families from those who would unlawfully take from us. Lord, You command us to enter into Your gates with thanksgiving, and we are here. Bless us. You command us to enter Your courts with praise, and we are here. Bless us. You command us to shout joyfully unto all the earth, and to serve the Lord with gladness. Lord, we are here. Come to us and meet us here today in this place as we pray, as we sing, and as we hear the Word of God. Accept our prayers because we come to You in the name and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to the Father through the Son with the aid of the Holy Spirit. Hear our prayers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our scripture text this morning from the Word of God is from Revelation chapter 19, and I'll be reading the first six verses only. Chapter 19, the book of Revelation, the first six verses. Let us hear the reading of the Word of God. After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because His judgments are true and righteous. For He has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality. And He has avenged the blood of His bondservants on her. And a second time they said, Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sits on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came from the throne saying, Give praise to our God, all you His bondservants, you who fear Him, the small and the great. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. May God add His blessing to each of you this morning as we hear the reading of His holy word. The first six verses of chapter 19 of the book of Revelation is a continuation of the command that was given by Christ and by John in chapter 18, verse 20. We saw that last week, where after Jerusalem was destroyed, as they were watching the smoke ascend unto the heavens, they are told to rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. So the first six verses of chapter 19 is the actual response of the command in chapter 18, verse 20. They were told to rejoice, and in the first six verses of chapter 19, we have a record of how they rejoiced. They rejoiced in singing praise unto God. Now, verse 20 of chapter 18 is the fulfillment of the prayers in chapter 6. We saw that last week of the book of Revelation. And maybe those are the two most critical verses for understanding the book of Revelation. In chapter 6, in verse 10, and they cried out with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And then in chapter 18, verse 20, they had just witnessed the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. All the unbelievers had seen that destruction, and they were weeping because they knew that their money would be cut off. They would no longer have the avenue to make themselves rich because the city existed no more. And we saw the three groups who weep or who wept as they saw the city burning. But John turns, or the angel turns through John and says to the people of God, to the saints especially who are in heaven, you are not to cry, you are not to weep, you are not to feel sorrow, but you are to rejoice and sing praises unto God as you see the smoke go up into the very highest of the heavens. God has answered the prayers of the martyrs for vengeance against the apostate Jews, those who killed Christ and who sought to kill all those who followed Him. As the martyrs see and watch this vengeance, they rejoice in the justice of God. That's where we are in the book of Revelation. As we move on, Lord willing, we shall see the blessings which are to come to the church in the days following the destruction of Jerusalem. So the first six verses of chapter 19 is a continuation of the celebration of chapter 18, verse 20. In chapter 19, it says in the first three words, after these things, after what they had saw or had seen, is a reference to the events that happened, and particularly in chapter 18. We are told in verse 2, what they saw was the great harlot who was corrupting the earth. God created the earth, and He said it was all very good, and these had been His people to bring blessing unto the earth. And when God saw the earth turning filthy and dirty because of these people, He brought vengeance upon them. Verse 2 of chapter 19, He judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality. And He has avenged the blood of His bondservants on earth. And that verse tells me that the singing was the result of the events in chapter 18 where we see the destruction of Jerusalem. We have here at least four hallelujah hymns. We have here four songs that are ascending to the very throne of God Himself. In verse 1 and 2, after these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven. All those in heaven, the angels and the cherubim and the seraphim, the apostles and the prophets and the saints who died, they're all singing in heaven with a great voice. Hallelujah! Praise Jehovah! That means salvation and glory and power belong to our God. In verse 3, and a second time they said, Hallelujah! In verse 4, and the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne, singing, Amen. Let it be. Hallelujah. Verse 6, and I heard something like the voice of a great multitude and the sound of many waters, and like the sound of many peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Thus we have a multitude of groups singing a multitude of hymns and songs here in the very presence of God, who have witnessed themselves the destruction of Jerusalem. Now before I go on, I want to make two small little points. First of all, I want to remind you that it is a serious error to read chapter 19, the first six verses, out of context of chapter 18. These are wonderful hymns, short as they are, but we are not to understand them apart from the destruction of Jerusalem and the smoke that is going up into the sky. You cannot and should not simply lift the first six verses of chapter 19 out of the Bible, set them over here, and tell people, well, let us just sing these hymns. This is a response to a command. In chapter 18, verse 20, the command is to rejoice because of what you have seen. These are not professional hymn writers who just sit down and come up with something that might sail on the gospel hymn market or the contemporary music scene. There is a context that explains why they sang as they did. And I think my first point is simply to remember the danger of taking parts of Scripture, lifting them off the page, and taking them out of context, disconnected from what goes before. Secondly, these are singers with an experience. They have an experience. They have battle scars. They have shed their blood. They have watched the execution of Christians. With an experience like that, you don't have to conjure people or pay people into singing hymns of praise unto God. These are people who have an experience of seeing the attributes of God displayed. It is difficult to sing like this. We read it, we don't hear it. But I would imagine the sound was like many waters flowing. You can sing about the concept of deliverance, but to sing because you have been delivered is quite a different way to sing. We teach our children about grace, knowing that much of what we teach them by rote learning. They're just learning words. They learn the catechism. They're learning words. But we pray and hope that the day will come when they will experience what they've been learning. They will experience the grace of God. They will see the deliverance of God. It's easy to sing when you've seen the deliverance of God. If you are thirsty, no one has to tell you to drink. If you're hungry, no one has to tell you to eat. If you watched Jerusalem fall, if you and your Christians have died and shed your blood because of Jesus Christ, no one has to tell you to sing. Music is not simply reading words from a hymn book. Please, as we sing this morning. Music is the experiential response of the whole person when you see the attributes of God being displayed. Thus, to sing a hymn out of context as just a responsibility is not pleasing to God. But these hymns have a context and a story behind it. You know, all the hymns in the Trinity Hymnal have a story behind it. You know, we often sing the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," one of our favorites, "It Is Well With My Soul." But we don't often know the story behind that hymn, do we? The man who wrote that hymn was a Christian man who went through a great tragedy. The first thing that happened to him, he lost his only son, a 4-year-old child, died. Not long after that, he lived in Chicago. There was the Chicago fire that destroyed all his business. It was gone. And if that wasn't enough, his wife and 4 daughters were on a ship at sea, I think going to Europe, and word came that the ship sank at sea and all his 4 daughters were dead. After that, he wrote the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." You see, there's a story behind every hymn. There's a context to the praise that men give to God. There's a context here to these hymns. Why do they sing like this? You see the blood? You see the smoke? Now you understand why they sing so loud. You know, it's kind of like a child saying, "Why does Daddy sing so loud?" Right? A child, "Why does Mommy sing so loud?" Especially Daddy's. We need Daddy's to sing. Mommy's, you can sing. We know Mommy's can sing. But children need to hear their Daddy sing. And they need to hear their Daddy sing loud. And they need to ask their Mommy's, "Why does Daddy sing so loud?" Because he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's been delivered. The power of destruction. Your daddy's a happy man. And that'll do more than all the teaching and all the little Bible stories, which are good. But that will do more for your children. That they will absorb the grace of God than anything I know. Why does Daddy sing so loud? So we have a context. Jerusalem burning, we have an experience. From that context comes these short hymns that magnify the attributes of God. They magnify His salvation, verse 1. Salvation, His glory, verse 1. His power, verse 1. All these things we now see as part of the character of God. His power, see the smoke coming up. No one thought that Jerusalem could be destroyed. His salvation. He's delivered His people. His glory. He's the spotlight now of all the world. Verse 2, He has avenged the blood of the saints on her. God is the God of vengeance. Whatsoever a man reap, that shall or so he shall also reap. God is the God of justice. The guilty will not escape the wrath of God. Sometimes we think they will. Sometimes it seems like they go on and on and on and do all these things and they seem to have such a wonderful life, but they will not escape the wrath of God. God is just. Verse 6, God reigns. Hallelujah for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. The Lord our God, not your God, but the Lord our God, the Lord Jehovah, who delivered Moses and the people of God over and over in the Old Testament. That same God, He reigns today. He works the destruction of Jerusalem after the counsel of His own will. God is in charge. This was not an accident. This had a purpose. Him should focus on the attributes of God because we have experienced the power of His deliverance. That's why we sing so loud. That's why Daddy can't hold it back in church. Our sovereign God is in charge. He is the spotlight. He is powerful enough to destroy a great city. Vengeance belongs to God, and He will repay our enemies. And when He does, we will sing for joy. Hallelujah! Praise Jehovah! And we will sing praise of His attributes, His justice, and His power, and His sovereignty. That's the context of chapter 19. Thus, my points to this place is without the context and the experience of singing of the grace of God, singing hymns can be rather impious, rote, or habit. Christian music that comes from experience will burst forth in praise of the attributes of God, His justice, His power, and His sovereignty. And you know, as this picture comes before my eyes of what's happening here in this book, I'm not sure that the modern evangelical has a category for this. That the saints of God are rejoicing in the destruction of a city as the smoke ascends into the heavens, and they're singing hallelujah, amen, praise God, praise His sovereignty, praise His justice, praise His power and His glory. And if you tell that to most Christians today, they'd say, I don't like your God. How can you sing watching the tragedy of this city? It almost seems unchristian. Well, you don't understand my God. After my sermon last week, one of our members said to me as she was going out of the church, the modern Christian does not understand God's justice because the modern Christian does not understand God's holiness. And I thought, well said. Good sermon for next week. Why is it that God can burn a city down and Christians worship and sing praises while watching the smoke rise to the sky? Why does God bring destruction on His and our enemies? How is it that God can send thousands to their death in a burning fire until nothing is left but ashes? How can you justify that being a Christian? And the answer is because God is holy. God is holy. Holy means separated. But it means more than separated. You know, I was thinking Hitler was separated.
from the common people. Holiness means separated from sin. God finds sin, transgression of His law, repulsive. Sin is disgusting to God. Sin demands death. Sin demands the fire. God cannot stand it. He must get rid of it. God is holy. How can you Christians sing about God when He's destroying a city? How can Daddy sing so loudly? Because God is holy. You see the issue in chapter 18 in the 9th verse, and the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her. Immorality. Following after the flesh only. Chapter 18, verse 23, the last portion of that. Because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. Chapter 19, verse 2, because His judgments are true and righteous. God is holy means that God will not tolerate sin in His presence. And that's why we see the city burning. Why is God just? God is just because God is holy. That's why He sends men into the fire, because He is holy. God hates sin. It's disgusting. It must be eradicated. And I think the modern church has lost that. We have become so casual around God. And I've concluded that casual worship means we're worshiping a casual God. Not a holy God. That's why our church music sounds like a lullaby to infants. Or a love song to a girlfriend. Rather than the majestic, regal grandeur that only a holy God deserves. We sing folk songs to God. Folksy God, because we have a folksy God. You know what folk means? It means from the German volk, which means common. God is kind of like us. And He's folksy, and we sing folksy songs to God. We have forgotten that God is holy. How dare you to come into the presence of God knowing that He hates sin. He's repulsed by sin. And no unclean thing can come into His presence. He is regal. He is majestic. He is full of grandeur and holiness. And glory. And power. And sovereignty. To come into His presence, what I need to do is simply put my hands on the floor and my body on the floor and my face touching my nose, touching the carpet, and say, I'm in Your presence, O Holy God. Do not destroy me. For I've read Your Word. We have forgotten that we worship a holy God. We've forgotten Psalms like Psalm 24. Just read a few verses. Psalm 24, verse 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, who has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face, even Jacob. How can you come into the presence of God when he is holy and you do not deal with your sin? How can you stand boldly in the presence of God and yet sin is rampant in your heart? You will die because God is holy. In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, we have, and I think I mentioned this before, we have almost a parallel to the book of Revelation. The book of Exodus, the song of Moses in Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Moses liked to sing too. I'm sure Moses probably sang loudly, and I think it's loudly, not just loud, but it was loud. And I would probably imagine people asking, why does Moses sing so loud? Exodus chapter 15, Moses was not only a great general, a great leader, but he also liked to write hymns and songs. And after the deliverance of the people of Israel from the Egyptians, as they crossed the sea and as God destroyed all the Egyptians, as he looked back and saw them drowning in the sea, and you can read that in chapter 14, verse 30-31, thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. When Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Not only did they believe God, they believed Moses, because Moses had been telling them, God will deliver you. So Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I noticed the parallel here between chapter 14 and 15 of Exodus and also chapter 18 and 19 of the book of Revelation. They just seen these bodies there on the seashore. Dead bodies, like D-Day, all over the seashore, all over the land. And what do? They start singing. And what do they sing? Look down in verse 11 of chapter 15. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? Majestic in holiness. That's the way you deal with these kinds of hymns, where people praise God because they see the destruction of those who are opposed to God. Because God is majestic, high and lifted up, in holiness. And you know some of the other passages in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, the first five verses, Isaiah chapter 6. The first five verses, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, in the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings, two being covered. He covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, Holy, 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 thrice holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. And then I said, Isaiah, that is, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and because I live among the people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." That's the response to the holiness of God. I'm ruined. I'm dead. I'm dead. I'm unclean. And everybody I live with is unclean. We're all unclean. Acts chapter 5 in the New Testament. You remember what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, his wife? Acts chapter 5. When they were had agreed that they would have all things in common. This was a promise. This was a pledge. You know what pledges are? You know, you take a pledge when you join the church. You take a vow when you join the church. Seek the peace and the purity of the church. You take a pledge when you baptize your children. You will raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. You'll seek to bring them to church and put them under the preaching of God's Word. And you'll pray with them. You'll pray for them. You know, we take pledges. We take pledges to our wives. Our husbands, we vow to love them until death do us part. No matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult it is, no matter what the problems are, I will love you until I die. Those are pledges and promises. And Ananias and Sapphira had made a pledge to bring their money under the foot of the apostles, all they had, but they lied. But a man named Ananias, or chapter 5 of Acts, verse 1, and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself, with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but you've lied to God." And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came over all who heard of it. And the young men got up. Young men do this. They have the strength, and they covered him up. And after carrying him out, they buried him. That's the holiness of God. You lie to God. You don't keep your pledges that you've made. You break your promises. You die. And we'll bury you. And shortly after that, his wife came in and they asked her, "Did you give us everything?" She said, "Yes." And she fell down dead. Why do people die? Because God hates sin. Revelation chapter 4, we saw these particular verses, chapter 4, verse 5. A lot of emphasis in heaven on the holiness of God. Revelation 4. Beginning with the fifth verse there. "Out from the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds of peals of thunder, and there was seven lamps of fire burning before the throne." And we go through all this picture here. Verse 9 or verse 8, "And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings full of eyes and around within, and day and night they did not cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come.'" So, the answer to the question,
why does God bring judgment upon the city of Jerusalem? And why do the people of God sing praises? Alleluia. Praise the Lord. Praise His sovereignty, His glory, His salvation, all His attributes. Because God is holy. And my concern is that in our day and time, we have lost in the modern evangelical church the concept of the holiness of God. We have no category in our mind for passages like this, and we twist them or we take the songs out of context and say, well, let's just sing some praise songs today. Let's just sing some praise songs today. Praise songs? You know when I sing praise songs? When I see God's enemy destroyed, that's when I sing praise songs. When I see God's grace brought to me because I should be dead, and I'm not dead. And so that leads us up to the conclusion here that the more you understand the holiness of God, the more you will love Jesus Christ. And if you don't understand the holiness of God, your view of Jesus is very inadequate. Because Jesus died on the cross to turn away the anger of God against you and to keep you from burning in an eternal fire where smoke ascends into the heavens and it never ends. Interesting here that the angels, as they described in Revelation chapter 19, the smoke, they speak of it in terms of ascending, verse 3, chapter 19, and the second time they said, hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. This is smoke that will never end. You see, because God has been angry with us, God has been upset with us. When we sin, God is repulsed by us. You were no friend of God. But Jesus came and took our punishment upon Himself so that we might have the boldness to go into the very presence of God like the high priest in the Old Testament. God was so holy, the high priest could only enter the holy place on one day of the whole year, and he better make sure that he has everything in place. Perfectly dressed. Or else you will die. And so the New Covenant teaches us that Jesus took our punishment upon Himself, that which you deserve, so that you might have a right to enter into the presence of God. And you're here today. If it wasn't for Jesus, you'd be dead. Because Jesus has taken your sins and your guilt upon Himself, now you have an entrance into the holy place of God. But we still come with awe and respect, don't we? You see, God is not sweet. God is holy. I'm getting sick of sweetness this Halloween time. God is not sweet. God is holy. God is not sociable. God is holy. God is not casual. God is holy. God is not your buddy. God is holy. That's why we love Jesus. Because He became a man like us. Because our sins made us despicable in the eyes of God. Jesus, out of love, came and died on the cross and paid the price of our sins. And He turned away the wrath of God. And God is not looking at us as sinners anymore. But as children, washed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, when you sing this last hymn, I want you to sing it in the context of somebody who has experienced the grace of God. Someone who knows that his only hope is in Jesus Christ. Because God is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, forgive us when we have trampled on the holiness of God. When we have considered it unimportant. Help us to understand now more the genuine love and grace in Jesus Christ who came to die, that we might have access with boldness to the very throne of grace. O Lord, grant that we grow this morning in our knowledge of God and in our love of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.